So many years ago, now I went through a period of time in my life where the days were dreary and the nights were long. In the process of this time frame in my life, I stumbled across a verse. And the verse brought so much encouragement to me that I actually got a 3x5 card and I wrote the verse on the card and I taped it to my headboard on my bed so that I would see it when I went to sleep and when I woke up. This verse was an encouragement to me at that time, but you know, we have verses and we kind of forget about them through the process of time. And so I had forgotten about this verse until just recently. I had been reading in my Bible and I stumbled across this verse. And how I want to describe finding this verse was like finding a $100 bill that you put in a coat and you forget it's there, or $25 bill. You know, you forget it's there and you find it like the next winter. That's kind of how it felt to kind of reread this verse and come across it again. Well, hopefully I've piqued your interest. Hopefully you want to know. The verse is in Job. It's Job chapter 13, verse 15. Why don't you turn there? Job chapter 13, verse 15. You guys are fast page turners tonight. Job 13, verse 15. The New American Standard, what I'm reading out of, says, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him." So here's Job, and Job is speaking, and Job says that he has so much trust and hope in God that he can say that even if God would kill me, I would still hope in him. I would still trust in him. Look at the verse again. It says, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." Or some versions translate it, "I will trust in him." So it gives us a picture. It tells us where Job was at spiritually. He could say, if God would kill me, I would still trust in him. And for me, as I mentioned, as this verse was an encouragement to me so long ago in this period of suffering, I came to a place in my life where I could say this verse. And so that's why I kind of put it on a 3x5 card onto my headboard. "Though he kill me, I will still trust in him. I will hope in him." And I want to say I didn't, you know, it was a process of time for me to come to this place where I could say that though God slay me, I will still trust in him. It wasn't overnight. It was a process of time. And as I was reflecting on it, I don't even remember what the suffering was about. And that's not really the point. Because suffering is something that we all experience in this world. We all suffer. It's part of our broken world. And we suffer in different forms. We suffer physically. We have cancer. We have brain tumors. We have heart attacks. We have miscarriages. We have stubbed toes. We have hangnails. We suffer physically in various degrees, all of us. We also suffer relationally. We suffer from broken relationships. There probably isn't one of us here that doesn't have a broken relationship or a difficult relationship. We suffer from the loss of a relationship. We all have loved ones that we have lost. We suffer from relationships that are so difficult, we kind of just secretly wish they would just go away. I just wish this would go away. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to deal with this. All of us suffer to one degree or the other. We are all suffering tonight to one degree or another. Yet, I believe that God wants us to be in a place like Job, where we can say, I trust him. I hope him. And I hope in him. And I'm not talking about trusting in an answer to why you are suffering. I'm not talking about waiting for a solution to how to handle your suffering. It's not about why, it's not about how, those things are important, but here it is about who. Who you are trusting. Talking about trusting God during your suffering. Job said he did. He was hoping in God. Yet, I find this so fascinating. As much as Job hoped and trusted in God, this did not mean that he sort of sat by and took it all in. You've all read the book of Job. You know what Job's doing right now in chapter 13, or let me remind you. He wants to argue with God. He's not, okay, whatever comes, God, I'm going to take from you. No, he wants to argue his case with God. We see this. Look at the second half of the verse. He says, nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. Job was lamenting his situation. He was pouring out his suffering. He was hoping in God, yet he wanted to argue for his vindication. And who was he speaking to here? Do you know? In chapter 13, he's speaking to his friends. These friends that have come to him and offered their advice on why he was suffering. And Job wanted to argue his case with God. He wanted to be vindicated. Why? Because his friends told him, you have sinned, Job. Their basic argument was this. It worked like this for them. Here is their argument to Job. Job, good people are blessed. Bad people are cursed. Therefore, you must have done something bad because you're so cursed. That's their argument. Yet, I find it interesting that if you read the book of Job, you'll find that Job, it never says that Job suffered because of a particular sin. Because of a hidden sin, because of a secret sin that he had, that his friends were trying to get out of him. I think, to me, this shows us something about what we do in our suffering. There is a tendency that when you suffer, you want to prove yourself to be in the right. I know this because sometimes when you suffer, you wonder if God is getting even with you. If God is somehow paying you back, if he's punishing you for a secret or hidden sin, even if you think there's just some element of truth to that, like at least part of why I'm suffering is because of a hidden or secret sin. It's so funny. A few weeks ago, a colleague of mine, she was descending the stairs at her church, and she got to the last stair and she turned her ankle and fractured her ankle and sprained her ankle. And so, I work in a CPA firm, and so we have people coming and going all the time, clients. And so on more than one occasion, I've overheard a client say, "God must be getting, he must be out to get you for something." You know, they say that kind of joking in a way. You know, but there's an element of seriousness to what they're saying. And especially God is trying to get your attention because you fractured your ankle at church, nonetheless. Right? She did it at church. This is what I'm saying is I think we have a tendency to want to moralize suffering. The lab results return, and we interpret them, at least in part, I think, as some sort of punishment. Or maybe our marriage goes south, and we think it's because of some indiscretion we've made. So here is Job. He's saying he's trusting in God, yet his friends are accusing him of sin. And so here's the question I want us to answer tonight. That was all introduction. I have 5 more minutes for the question I want to answer. How did Job trust in God, yet justify himself of any wrongdoing? God, I trust in you, but these friends are saying I committed sin. Job's friends ask in chapter 4, verse 17, you don't have to turn there. One of his friends asks, "Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his Maker? How can you trust in God during your suffering, and yet know that God is not out to get you?" So the question is, how do you maintain this balance of trust and vindication? Now, I'm not asking how you can escape your suffering, right? That's never promised to us. We're never promised that we're going to escape suffering in this life. What I'm asking is that during your suffering, in the midst of your suffering, how can you maintain your innocence? How can you have a clear conscience? Well, read the book of Job and find out how Job did it. It's a fascinating book. I love the book of Job. But I don't want to leave you with that. I want to give you the soundbite version. We love soundbites. We love soundbites. And what I like to do, I try to do, is if there's a question that's asked, I like to boil it down as much as I can to get to the very heart of the answer. So what is the answer to the question of, in your suffering, to whatever extent it may be, how can you trust in God yet maintain your innocence? Well, as I've thought about this question, here's my answer. I think I can boil it down to one word: Jesus. It's kind of the Sunday school answer, but it works. Let me remind each of you tonight that in Jesus, in Christ, God is both just and the justifier. So Let me break that down. That means that God is just in all his ways. This means that whatever suffering you and I experience, that you're experiencing right now, you can bank on the fact that God is just to bring this suffering into your life. He did not mess up. No fault can be found in God. Don't blame him. You can't blame him. You can't blame him. He is completely just. Yet at the same time, right? At the same time, God is also your justifier. This means that though no fault can be found in God, no fault can be found in you if you are in Christ. That's justification. No fault in your standing with God. If you have been justified by faith alone, through the sufferings of Christ alone, you are completely vindicated. So when you argue your case before God of suffering, argue based upon the work of Jesus. Argue based upon what he has done for you. Let me boil it down to the nut of what I'm trying to say tonight. What I'm trying to say is that whatever suffering you are going through, when you feel like, why God? Why? And you want to go inside and you want to look internally. What I am saying is look outside. Don't go inward, go outward. Look outward at Jesus. Because when you look inward, you're not going to find anything good. When you look outward, you can see that Jesus is your vindication. So, I know most of you are familiar with Job 13:15. Especially some of you who are older in the faith, maybe you grew up on the King James Version, which is beautiful. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I hope and trust that this short devotional has been like discovering a $100 bill in your spiritual wallet pocket for you. I hope it was reminded you maybe of this passage that you had forgotten, that I had forgotten. And I hope that you can say that you are at a place where you trust God. Even if he would kill you, yet at the same time, you can with confidence say that I am in Christ. I have a righteousness that is not my own, that has been given to me. And so no fault can be found in me. And so the answer to the question that Job's friends posed to him, can mankind be just before God? What is the answer? The answer is yes. Yes, in Jesus. And I think my heart, at least, and I hope yours does, say to that, amen, right? Praise God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for just this brief reflection in your word tonight. We thank you for the book of Job that you have given to us. Lord, there are so much depths in this book of wisdom that we need in a broken world, that you have given to us for our edification, for our instruction, for our joy, for our hope. And I pray that this devotional would help each of us to look outside of ourselves to Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.